Blog Talk Radio.
That is Philippians, where Paul states, he who began the good work in you will complete it. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. And, of course, we are here today talking about the God who delivers the needy, the poor, and the weak. Our scripture text for this week is, "For he, God, shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper." Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name. We honor you today, Lord, and we cry out to you because there's so much that needs completing in us, and you're the only one who can do it. Do it, Lord. Complete the work you started in our lives. Make us more and more like Jesus. Allow us, Lord, to be light to the world and salt us, Lord, as we yield to you each and every day. You who began the good work in us, complete it by the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Holy Spirit, have your way with us, the children of God. Lead us and guide us to all truth, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Psalm 72, the theme is Our God, a Mighty Deliverer. Indeed, God is able to deliver us when we are up against it, whatever that may be. As I look at the world today, as I read the newspapers, as I read articles in the Financial Times, as I look at what's going on in the economies of the world, which are intertwined, they're all connected, all the economies, all of the fiat currencies are connected one to another. I see hard times for the world in the months to come, and that includes us. We, God's children, are not exempt for what is coming. And, you know, we've been looking at high inflation, high gas prices, problems with the food chain, the manufacturing problems, the problems with unemployment, high interest rates now for mortgages, and the debasing of the U.S. dollar, which is the currency, the reserve currency of the world. I hope and pray that what I see coming isn't true, and what I see coming is a global economic crash worse than the Great Depression. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that my views of what's going on in the world do not come to pass. I just hope that what I see, you know, I was driving yesterday from prayer. I was at church yesterday praying. On my way home, I had the radio on, and I heard that Amazon was closing 120 distribution centers globally, the majority of them here in the United States. Now think about it, saints. Almost everything you get in your home now comes through Amazon or Amazon Prime. Amazon, this major, major company, has already told employees at 120 plants where they distribute 120 hubs of distribution, they are shutting those down. How many jobs are at each hub? What does Amazon see coming that most people don't see coming? So, the text, for he, God, shall deliver the needy. That's one group. The poor, that's the second group. And him that have no helper, or him who has no one to come to his aid. God is the God who delivers his people. Today I want to focus on, today is Wednesday, I want to focus on how does God deliver his people? What is the means? What guarantees our deliverance? What secures our deliverance? How do we get God's attention and have him come our way to deliver us? Tomorrow, I'm going to deal with those who are needy. On Friday, I'm going to deal with the poor. And on Saturday, I'm going to talk about those who have no access to social services, those who have no helper. But today I want to talk about how do we secure this deliverance. Let's look at the text. For he, God, shall deliver. Again, what is deliverance? When God, who is almighty, comes and rescues us against the foe, against an enemy, we are no match for. Since we have no power to counter their attack, we're doomed. But if God comes to our rescue and delivers us, he who is almighty can vanquish he who is mighty against us. So again, I am no match for a bear. I am no match for a lion. I am no match for Goliath. I am no match for Satan. But with God on my side, I will be delivered from the lion, I will be delivered from the bear, I will be delivered from Goliath, and I will be delivered from Satan as David was. So again, why do I need deliverance? Because I am no match. I have no power to counter the attack of my enemy. I have no power. Therefore, I need for God come to my rescue and be my deliverer. That's what I need. So, how do I secure this deliverance? How do I secure it? Again, let's look at the text. For he, God, shall deliver. That's what he does. That's his ministry. That's what he's covenanted to do on our behalf. He has covenanted to redeem us. He has contracted himself to save us. He will deliver his people. Some of his people fall under the category of the needy. Others fall under the category of the poor. Others fall under the category of those who have no help. That said, how do we secure this help in the time of trouble? Well, look at the text, the portion in green. For he, God, shall deliver the needy when he crieth. So how do we secure God's help? Well, as the Bible always teaches, by praying. Notice, saints, we cry out to God, we pray to God in desperation, and that's how we secure his help. That's how it comes. It always comes by means of prayer. Now, let me take you to 2 Chronicles. Let's go quickly to 2 Chronicles. Let me show you something here. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, it's a very familiar prayer passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself to be a house of sacrifice. Now look at verse 13. In verse 13, God shows three ways in which he can shut down the economy of a nation. Here are three ways in which God can shut down the economy of not just a nation, but of the world. He says, if I shut up the heavens, that there be no rain. One way in which God can bring the global economy to a screeching halt is by what? By drought. No rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land. In other words, if God was to send judgment and send locusts throughout the earth, and the locusts would eat every plant, every tree, down to its nub. That's another way God can shut down the agricultural economy of the world. So one is by drought, sending no rain. Number two, if God sends what? The locusts. Or number three, if I send pestilence. If something like COVID blankets the earth and shuts down all the economies of the world. So notice, three ways. Drought, infestation of locusts like we've never seen before, or a plague like the bubonic plague, the black plague, COVID-19. We just lived through that. Well, how do we solve these three issues? How do we solve this judgment? How do we reverse it? Well, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. There it is. There it is. How does the needy get help? It prays. How does the poor get help? It prays. How does the person who has no access to social services get help? He prays. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. It always goes back to praying. Always. 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 Every problem is solved. Now, people think, well, we've got to throw money at it. We've got to start issuing checks. And they did that. And what happened when they issued all these checks and were giving people checks, all these people who stayed home, everybody got checks. What happened? Well, they pumped fiat currency into the economy. And now we have what? We have inflation. We have all this money out there, and now the money is worth nothing. So this is why it's going to cost you $20 to buy a loaf of bread, because they gave out too much free money. No one worked for it. There's just cash everywhere. So how do they recoup that money? How do they take it from you, whom they gave it free, and how do they get it back from you? Well, they jack up the prices through inflation. A loaf of bread, $25. So that's going to make a whole lot of people poor and needy and with no help. Look at the food banks today. They're crashing. Why? People can't afford gas. People can't afford heating oil for the winter. People can't afford the prices of the food. People can't afford their medicines. My brothers and sisters, we're going to be surrounded in a few months. We're going to be surrounded by a lot of poor and needy and people who have no help. What do we do when that sad day comes? Well, we open up Grace Church. That's what we do. And we tell people to cry out to God. Perhaps that's the way God's going to bring the revival. By bringing an economic crash like we've never seen before. Perhaps that's how God is going to bring everyone to their knees. Perhaps this is how God is going to cause people to humble themselves and to turn from their wicked ways and to seek his face. Perhaps. Perhaps we need another COVID-19. I don't know. I don't know what, but I can tell you one thing. COVID-19, this one didn't bring people to repentance. This plague, this thing that came all over the earth, and I'm not saying that God sent it, but he certainly did allow it. The Lord has not confided in me. The Lord did not tell me that he sent this plague. But one thing I know for sure, he did allow it. And it ravaged the earth. And few people turned to God. Few. 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 What will it take for people to turn to God? Maybe starvation. Maybe famine. Maybe when the entire supply chain breaks down and there's no food in the supermarkets. There's no food down there in New York City where there's 8 million people starving. What's going to happen? when Chicago has no food and L.A., Los Angeles has no food? What's going to happen? You think it's bad now that mothers can't find formula for their babies? You think it's bad now? I see worse coming. And I don't say this to scare anyone. I'm saying it so that we can be ready. If it comes, what's the antidote? What's the solution? God will deliver people when they cry out to him. Isn't that what the text says? He, the Lord, shall deliver the needy when he crieth. The means of deliverance is crying out to God. Hey, I'll give you another scripture. Go to Exodus. Exodus, 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 chapter 2. Exodus 2. It says in verse 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Here, there's oppression here. The people of God are being oppressed economically. They're in slavery. They've been enslaved in brutal bondage. And they cried out to God. And their cry came up unto him. It reached heaven. Verse 24. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. They're his people. The word respect means he highly considered them because they are his favored people. Then we read in chapter 3, verse 7, and the Lord said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry. Come now. Come now, I will send you to Egypt so that I may use you as the human instrument of deliverance. I will deliver them, but I'm sending you to go before Pharaoh and say to him, let my people go. Verse 9, notice in verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry. Look at verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. Notice, it was their prayers that God took note of, not their preaching. Not their teaching, not their pontificating, not their praise, not their worship, their prayer, their desperate cries for help. So, how do we secure our deliverance? By means of crying. Crying. Now, let's go to number 2 here in your outline. Go to number 2. In Job 38:41, the word cry is the Hebrew verb sawa, meaning a cry of despair, a desperate cry for help. Let's go there and see what that verse is about. Job 38:41. God's poses this question to Job. Job, can you answer this question for me? Job, you who think you know it all. You think, Job, that you know all the secrets of the universe. Tell me, Job, who provides for the raven his food? When his young ones or when his hatchlings cry unto God. Who provides for them, Job? I do. When they cry, listen, when the hatchling ravens cry out, they're crying out not to their parents, not to the father bird or the mother bird. No, 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 Job, listen, I reveal to you a mystery. When the baby ravens cry, they cry out to me. They pray to me, and I secure their food. I deliver them. See, not until people get desperate will they be delivered. Not until they're in deep despair. Not until their bellies are empty and their stomachs grumbling and you go to the shelves and there's nothing on the shelves. Then you're going to see people turning to God. Because he said that to Solomon. I have three ways, Solomon. I have three ways in getting my people's attention. I have three ways. I can send locusts to devour everything on the face of the earth, every growing thing. I can send locusts like I did to Egypt. I can do it globally, and I can have every plant on planet Earth devoured. Or I may choose not to send rain. On the one hand, I may send locusts, or I will not send rain, or I will send the plague. Either one. Then, in desperate times, people will turn to desperate measures, and desperate measures is what? Crying. Job, who provides for the hatchlings when they cry unto God? They cry to me, their creator. Now, let's turn to Psalm 149:7. Psalm 149, verse number 7. It reads, I'm sorry, 147.9. I apologize. 147.9. He, referring to God, giveth to the beast his food. You look at every beast on the face of the earth. You look at every animal, every creature that roams the globe. Every beast that God has created. Who gives them their food? God does. And to the young ravens which cry. There it is again. Prayer, my brothers and sisters. God hears the prayers of animals, of little hatchlings. God is ever attentive to their cries. And so he is attentive to the cries of his covenant. I want to close with one more scripture, which is a warning to the ungodly. In Psalm 18, verse 41, it reads, they cried. In this context, they are the wicked. They cried, but there was none to save them. They even cried unto the Lord, but he did not answer them. Notice, the wicked will cry to God, and he will not answer their prayers because they do not love the Lord, they do not honor the Lord, but God is ever present and ever ready to hear the cries of his covenant people, whether they be poor, whether they be needy, whether they have no one to help them. When the righteous cries, as Solomon says in Psalm 72, verse 12, when the righteous cry, the Lord will deliver him. So we have a coverage which the ungodly do not have. And this is why it pays to serve the Lord. It pays in so many ways, especially when something as catastrophic as what is coming to the earth. It pays to serve God, because when you hit the tough times, he will deliver you as he does all the little creatures that depend on him. The skunk depends on God, the raccoon, the rabbit, the turtle, the owl, the crow, the raven, all of them depend on God. And he supplies what they need, and he's in covenant with his born-again children. So, my brothers and sisters, let us be men and women of prayer. Remember, when the children of Israel cried, when they were in bondage, he heard their crying and sent Moses to deliver them. Have faith in God. Have faith in your Heavenly Father. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be back tomorrow to talk to you about the needy. God bless you.
Thank you tonight for your faithfulness. Your words declare it. You will be faithful. So you want to know where to invest $1,000?